Good morning. You said louder when someone said good morning before, Solomon. Good morning. That's wonderful. I don't know how the masks are helping you, but I almost didn't shave for 2 weeks. Today, I couldn't get over. So today, we are looking at this series of BLESS, this acronym, B-L-E-S-S. It all started in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 2, when God promised Abraham that I'll make you a great nation, I'll make you famous, and I will bless you. I didn't stop there. He said, so you can be blessing to others. The idea of God blessing us and we bless others is there more than once in the Bible. We see this story where master gives his servants with enough resources, enough talents, and ask them to use those talents to serve, and he comes back and checks how did they do. So when God blesses you, the idea is not just we enjoy all of it, but to bless others, to show God's love through us to others, so they can also come into the kingdom of God. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you really think that God has blessed you way more than you actually needed to live on this earth? I was born in India and I was grown up in India. My dad was very poor, and we know with how much less amount people would still live their lives. I saw the statistics before coming here, and I saw 80% of the world is living a day under $10. So we have way excess. But imagine this. If Lord calculates how much you really need to live and then remove all the excess amount of you, remove all the excess talents of you, remove all the things that are not in use anyway, how would your life and my life look like? So we should really consider that the blessings are not just for us, but to pass it on. And we see, it starts with B, B for begin with prayer, and we heard how Jono explained us. It is important to start the project with the prayer so God can guide us where to start, when to start, how to start. And then it goes on with listening, and then unless we listen, we don't understand the story of the person we wanted to bless. Unless we understand their story, we don't know how to serve them, how to bless them. Eating is the universal way of telling someone that they are important to us. If I host lunch to a family, I'm telling that they're important to us. And we heard last week from Ben how Jesus chose those sinners and tax collectors or people who are rejected in society to say that they are important to him and they are not rejected by Christ. Now today, it is service. Service is not enjoyable as eating or easy as listening, but service, to serve, is one of those powerful ways to show love of God to the people. And it's a very logical step. If you want to bless community, you serve the community. So serving becomes a very important step in the series. So today we will look at how we can serve and what we can do to serve, or mainly why we should serve. And service is one of those things which we can't fake. You know, you can sound spiritual and fake it, or you can look spiritual but you can't kind of serve. You can either serve or not serve. You can't kind of say I'm kind of pregnant, can you? You're either pregnant or you're not. So service is one of those where people can not only hear the gospel, but they can see the gospel in our lives. There you go. Why serve? As I was telling, serving is one of those powerful ways of showing love of Christ. But serving opens the new doors to bring people to Christ. How? I mean, before we came to Australia, we were in New Zealand. We used to gather as a small group of church. And we used to have a lot of university students there coming to our gathering. And we used to serve them. We used to help them to make their resumes as they're attending the job interviews. We used to serve them by picking them, dropping them into places where there's no public transport. We used to even host them lunch after Sunday service. We used to take turns and do it. And that particular service actually opened doors in many lives of those students. One of them got married. He's in the church. He's actually giving communion messages in the church. Serving would actually really open the doors. Serving validates the messenger. 2 weeks ago, I think Brad was explaining how a lady entered the train and explaining how all these people here are sinners, how you should repent and come to the Lord. The content is true, but the way we deliver it may not really attract people to come and listen to you. But even if you consider a nicely well-dressed person with a polite voice, with all the wisdom, sits beside you and start explaining how you're a sinner and you should come to Christ, what is a good reason that they should believe you? Consider if a Muslim friend comes to me and explains me what he thinks is true and asks me to become a Muslim, do you think I just believe and change? But serving with a genuine love and show that people who think out there that there's no free lunch, there's a possibility that we can do the service with love would actually validate the person who is giving the message. When the messenger is validated, the message has value. Serving also authenticates the message. The whole message we are delivering to the people is about the gospel. And what is gospel? Jesus Christ, who being a king and the God himself, came down to serve the humanity. And in the process, he sacrificed his life. When you're talking about service and only talking about the service and not actually doing the service, then that message doesn't authenticate. Imagine I'm a big overweight guy standing here and talking about being healthy, eating good food, and not eating junk. Even though you won't tell it on my face, you would think at least first apply those things to yourself and fix yourself. If we go on talking about Christianity and not actually show that through service, and that's exactly how it's going to be. But if I serve them, at least that message, what I'm talking, has a bit of authenticity on it. More wise, why should we serve? We are created to serve. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Consider me as an individual, I have my own needs I need to bear. And if you're like me, married and a family, then I only not only have my needs to bear, I have my family needs to bear. Consider one of the elders or a pastor of a church. He has to bear the needs of himself, he has to bear the needs of the family, and he also has this burden of bearing the needs of the church. Taking one step further to a local councillor or a prime minister, there's no one in this world who can bear all the needs of the world. And so God broke the needs into portions. And he assigned those portions to you and me who are supposed to be the disciples of God. So when God made you, when God created you, he assigned a portion of need to you. To fulfill and meet those needs of portion, he also created some jobs for you. And he also gave you enough resources so you can do those jobs and fulfill the needs. So please do the service and complete those jobs. We are gifted for service. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. 2 weeks ago, we went in a December camp. Five of our families, we went for camping, and we sat around, and one of the games was to talk about the strengths. And we saw quite a few people talking very confidently about what their strengths are. Some are confident that they can speak well. Some are confident they have this strength of perseverance, the strength of forgiving. There are a lot of strengths. It is good to know what our strengths are, but there's a bigger question. Why? Why those strengths were given in those combination to you, and why not to someone else? It is important to understand that those strengths were given in those combination with the resources you have to complete the job that God has assigned to you. If you think where you are is by choice, then it's wrong. God put us in a job with those particular colleagues because he wanted to create an opportunity for us to serve. God put us in that particular suburb, in that particular neighborhood. So God has created the opportunities and orchestrated those circumstances so we can serve and complete the purpose job God has put into our lives. But many times we try and use our gifts to progress our career. To be honest, we use our gifts to become famous in the society. But the truth is, God has actually given them to serve one and other. We are saved for service. Don't take it wrong. We are not saved because of service, but we serve because we are saved. Consider this. If someone who was born in sin grows in sin, and then one good day they believe in Christ and gets the salvation, why not God zap him up and take him to heaven? Why are we still on this earth when the salvation is already done in our lives? If you think salvation is the last step in a Christian life, then it's wrong. In fact, salvation is the first step in the Christian life. What is the last step? The last step would be to become like Christ. And to become like Christ, God would introduce so many circumstances into our lives. So we will be molded. And in the process, we will be serving him. To be like Christ, we need to start serving like Christ. We need to serve with love. If all those points are not convincing enough, we have Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, where we are told we will be paid for our services. So it's not a free service we are doing there. Their master here gives the talents to servants. And when he comes back and checks how they did, he says here, looking at the person who did very well, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness." These are the reasons, at least I could pick up, for why should we serve? Okay, convincing enough. Where do we start? Now, I remember this story. I don't know if I told you before, but there is here a mother who is making pancakes. And then the two little guys, maybe a six-year-old and seven-year-old, sitting around the mother, and then slowly started to argue who will get the first pancake. Though it seemed cute in the beginning, it's slowly getting serious discussion, serious argument, so mother intervened and then said, "Okay, let me teach a nice lesson here." She said, "If Jesus were to be here, Jesus would say, 'I will sacrifice my turn. You have the first pancake, I'll have the second one.'" Then the big brother quickly realized, and then he said, "Okay, little brother, today you can be Jesus." The thing is, we know what to do, but we let someone else to be Jesus. We know where the need is, but sometimes it is not very convenient to go into that section of our lives. That is how where we are getting this blessed series into, where we begin with prayer so God can help us and guide us into the right direction on whose life we can start working into. There are many kinds of serving outside the context of church. When you go to a restaurant, there will be a waiter waiting to serve you, but you have to pay. When you go to a government office like a services NSW, the staff will be serving you. Though you don't pay them directly, they are still paid. There are some companies who actually use some of those profits to donate and serve the community. Why? Because they want a good name in the market. There are some people who serve so that elders like Jonah would look at him and say, oh, impressive candidate. There will be some services done so we can look good in the society. But some serve with an obligation. I do this to you today, but you owe me one. I will ask you for a favor later on. But the services or the serving a Christian has to do has to have this underlying motivation of love. Without love, anything we do, we seem to expect something back. Consider a mother who just gives birth to a baby. She would serve that baby with all her heart and love, not expecting a return. And the service we do has to have that love of God, so that, especially in this context of bless, the idea of serving coming before sharing the gospel, B-L-E-S-S, the first S is serving, the next S is sharing, sharing your story, sharing the story of Christ, is when I serve, I gain their trust. When I serve, I gain their respect. So when I speak, my words have value. So we need to serve with the love. And we can see a few examples how Jesus did it when he was on this earth as a human being. I just picked four. There are quite a few reasons we can pick on how to serve and how not to serve. But here I brought up only four reasons. The first one, Jesus served without pay or reward or even thanks. That I can't see, so I'll read it from here. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 17. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he has done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? I wonder how many times this would have happened in that 3.5 years of ministry in Jesus' life. Jesus was healing every day and serving people every day before he brings up the kingdom of Lord. When people are waiting for healing for so long, when they got healed, they get excited and run to the family. They forgot to say sorry, they forgot to say thank you to God or Jesus. But that doesn't really stop Jesus from doing what he's doing. But I'll show you this example where in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 38, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us what we ask, or whatever we ask, or do a favor for us. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. My son always sits beside me on my right. What's the big deal? But when you sit on the right-hand side of a king, it means he is the viceroy of the king. If king is not there on the throne, he has the authority to be and take decisions as a king. Here, James and John, though they started their work with Jesus Christ, service with Jesus Christ with a genuine heart, somewhere along the road, they kind of felt there's a potential of gaining some status here. And so they wanted this status of being on the right and on the left. This happens in our lives most of the time. Though we have this heart of starting the serving genuinely, slowly at some point, we see the potential of benefiting from it. And slowly our focus moves from serving to how we can maximize the benefit out of it. There are the things that we do so we can gain social status by serving. I mean, in few months ago, due to the COVID, in India, there was a lockdown. Unlike here, the government won't give money for free if you're just sitting at home. People started to slowly die because of hunger after a month. Then other people who are well-versed, they started giving them bags of groceries and other households. And I could see these generalists taking photos of them, putting in the Facebook. But after some time, this became a trend. People started to buy just enough bags of grocery to give just enough number of people, so enough number of photos are taken to put on the Facebook. As a human beings, we always have this thing in our heart that we should be liked by people, or we should be praised by people, and that's not wrong. But using service to gain a social status is not the way Jesus does. Jesus, he came down losing the status, and he did the service. He came down losing the position to do the service. So if you want to serve like Jesus in love, serve without pay or without reward or even without thanks. The second point here is Jesus did the things that no one else wants to do. Again, John chapter 13, verse 2 to 5 and 12 to 15. It was time for the supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, on the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped the towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." I don't know about the politicians around here, but in India, sometimes politicians come out into the community to be an example. They go onto the street, take a broom, and start doing the street brooming. But they will only do for 5 minutes to take the photos. And after that, they put them there and go into the car. I was wondering, Jesus would just wash the feet of one disciple to show an example. But he actually continued doing all 12 and then put on his robe and started speaking. The interesting thing is that Jesus knows Judas, who is sitting there, will betray him. But that didn't really stop washing Judas' feet. Now, if you look at the background, washing someone's feet at the time of Jesus is not very fun. They walk in the dry dirt, there's no transportation, and they don't have shoes. Along with that, the donkeys and camels also walk in the same road. You can think of the filth on the feet. Now, Jesus would be the last person to go down to wash the feet. That's why usually when the guest arrives in the house, it is the duty of the least slave to wash the feet of the guest. That's because no one else wants to do it. And Jesus or his disciples doesn't have a slave. So the room contains Jesus and his disciples. Who is going to wash? Who will be that least slave to start washing the feet? And so Jesus went down to wash the feet. Knowing that Judas is going to betray him, he still washed his feet. Knowing that Thomas, who is going to deny him, he still washed his feet. Did I say Thomas? Sorry, Peter. And even Thomas, he would be doubting Jesus, and he knows it. He still washed his feet. We know we don't have a big enemies to fight, but there are certain people which we try to avoid talking or with whom we avoid doing friendships. But when time comes and God gives us an opportunity to serve, that shouldn't really stop us serving. To what extent we can really humble ourselves to serve like Christ? There will be times where we have to take a job that no one wants to take, And there will be times we have to serve the people that no one wants to serve. If you want to serve like Jesus, we have to be ready to take up the jobs that no one wants to take. The next point here we see is Jesus served when it was inconvenient. We see this in Matthew chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. John's disciple, we see just now or a few hours ago, John the Baptist was beheaded. And so John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Now, this is a very genuine reason to take a day off. His best friend, his cousin, died. It's not an accident or a heart attack. Someone beheaded him. And Jesus heard that he was broken. He got into the boat. He just went away to a lonely place to mourn. But what happened? The crowd heard where he was heading and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped down from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, he could easily say, hey, my best friend died. Leave me alone. I don't have anything to do with crowds for today. He's healing them every day, but on that day, he didn't really want to, but he still did it. It is not very convenient, but he still did it. There will be situations where the opportunity of serving comes and it has to interrupt our schedules. Sometimes we have to go way out of our way to help someone or serve someone. I remember an example in my own life, not something that I can be proud of. So I'm telling this to not to do like me. I don't know if you remember Joe, who started Hands and Feet. He came here, he explained, showed the photos, how the homeless in city were really fed and how that sort of service was really happening and helping. Had this deep conviction in my heart that I should do something. I wanted to just join at least and help them. And so I asked more details. I only learned that they are just working in the city, which is not very far off from my workplace. I just need to stay back 2 more hours of my work on Friday evening to just join them and work. I did that for some time. But the situation's changed. From my job, I can work from home. Now the inconvenience came. Now I have to take a train and then go to city to join them with the Hands and Feet ministry. Inconvenience versus serving heart. Somehow serving heart won, and I started doing that too. I walked to station, from there go to city and then work. That happened for some more months. And then the situation changed again. This time we moved the house to Tungabi. So from Tungabi, I have to take a bus to go to station and then go to the city. That inconvenience won this time, and I called Brad saying I can't come anymore. We can only work when it is convenient, but that's not the way Jesus did. If we wanted to serve in love like Christ, we have to be ready to be interrupted in our schedules. We have to be ready for that inconvenience. So Jesus served even when it cost him. This is a very famous passage, and we read this quite a few times. And the truth in this passage is huge for us to read it one more time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in the human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. When every person on this earth was desperately in need of salvation, Jesus Christ said, I would go and serve them, knowing there is a cost to be paid. What is the cost? He would lose the divine privileges. He would lose being a God. He would lose the fellowship of the Father. And he would lose his own life. But that didn't really stop Christ coming onto this earth. He still came. He still died. And we were, the need was met for the salvation. And we are able to be saved. Now, this happens quite a few times in our lives. Let me tell you a story. Did I ever tell you a story about a farmer and the priest? The priest is speaking in the church and the farmer is sitting in the church. The priest was speaking about giving to God. And then he said, if you have two houses, you must give one house to God. Farmer, are you willing to give one house if you have two houses? Farmer said, yes, master. And then he went on and then he started talking about cars. If you have two cars, you must give one car to God. Farmer, are you willing to give one car to God? He said, yes, master. And then he asked, if you have two buffaloes, are you willing to give one buffalo to God? The farmer said, no, master. You're surprised. You're ready to give a house. You're ready to give a car. How come you're not ready to give a buffalo? He said, I don't really have two houses, but I do really have two buffaloes. We seem to say yes as long as it doesn't really cost us. But when it actually starts to cost us, that could be our time or energy or finances, we seem to take a step back. If you and I want to serve like Christ in love, we must be ready to face the cost. Sometimes it could be time. Sometimes it could be just energy we need to spend, or sometimes it could be our finances. So serving like Christ will have a cost involved sometime. Even if you forget everything I said, just try to remember these points, 4 points. Jesus served without pay, reward, or even thanks. So we must be ready to serve without reward or even thanks. Jesus did the things that no one else wants to do. And you and I must be ready to do the things that no one wants to take up. Jesus served when it was inconvenient, and we should be ready for serving even when things are not very well in our schedule. Jesus served even when it cost him, and we should be ready to serve even if it costs us. Love has to be the underlying motivation of our serving heart. Unless we have that love, we tend to expect something back for the service we have done. The reason Jesus Christ healed all those 10 lepers was because he loved each of them unconditionally. The reasons he washed the feet of all the 12 disciples, including Judas, Peter, and Thomas, was because he loved each one of them unconditionally. The reason he had compassion on that crowd and healed the sick even when he didn't like or feel like it was because he loved each one of them unconditionally. And the reason he allowed himself to be nailed on that cross for you and for me is, dear brothers and sisters, because he loved you and me and every one of us unconditionally. Unless that unconditional love is there as an underlying motivation, we won't be able to serve like Jesus served. Like I was saying before, service is not a gray area. You either serve or you don't serve. You have two options here if you want to respond to what is being told till now. You can take time and respond. Option one, choose to ignore God's love. Choose not to believe that Jesus Christ has died for you in your place and my place on the cross. We don't accept God's love. If we don't accept the God's love, we don't have an obligation to pass it on to other people. If we don't have to pass the God's love to other people, we don't have to serve. That is option one. Option two, we are gratefully and humbly accepting God's love. We really believe Jesus Christ died on the cross in our place. We accept God's love. With that accepting, we also get this responsibility to pass along that love to others unconditionally. How do you pass that love? By serving them unconditionally. If you think all the blessings what God gave you is for you to keep and hide, then that is wrong. We are blessed for a reason. We are blessed so we can be in turn a blessing. If you think all the strengths you are given and all the talents you have, that way of nicely speaking, we use those speakings in our seminars with the clients so we can go up. You can become a good politician if God has given you how to speak, or you can become a good preacher. You can choose. God has blessed us so we can be blessing. I humbly pray that, I don't know how many of you were really taking this Bless series seriously. I don't know how many of you actually note down someone's name to pray for. How many of you actually listen to a story of someone with whom you never spoke, or at least have a lunch time with someone. Maybe if we are doing this as a casual, then that's fine, it's a casual thing. But if you want to really consider this as a serious project, then there is a cost involved, and we should be humble to accept that. With this, we will conclude the meditation. For the friends who are meeting us online, now is the time for you to gather as a family to celebrate the body, the emblems, the body of Jesus and the blood of Christ, that juice that resembles it. And for us here, we will have some prayer time, open worship, and then we can start with the emblems.